I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined by a returning Donnie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Right, first of all, we will go to Donnie as we have just concluded the Regan Charles Cup, and Donnie unfortunately tried his best, but couldn't hold his cup. It came second, so I'll let you kind of take it away from this point of view.
Yeah, so well done to Melvino, previous winner of the Rumble. He managed to defeat me in the final. I think basically I just ran out of steam. I put up a good fight, knocking people out, but when it got to the final, my team was starting to fall apart. I tried to do the wild card, which I heard you talking about last week. Total disaster, and it didn't really favour me this week either, with goalkeeping changes and missed penalties. So I tried as best I could, but Melvin's got a solid squad. He's really high in the Mega League as well, so he is really on point with his game. So fair play to him. Coming first and second over two seasons, I can't really argue with that. Hopefully I can maybe get the Rumble off of him, and that would please me. But no, well done. Well done to everyone who took part. It was good. I find this cup really keeps you on point at the start of the season. And remember last year, I had a really good start and obviously won it. So it does keep you thinking. I probably held back on transfers because I didn't want to get knocked out. And it has put you in a good place. So I have had two bad weeks. Probably my two worst weeks were in the final, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
That gives a nice segue because right now the FS Royal Rumble is open for entry. But don't worry, it doesn't start after World Cup. I'm just going to let everybody know the format, the same as last year, is kind of based on the WWF, at the time WWE now, Royal Rumble, where a group of players, a couple of weeks, combination scores, the bottom few get knocked out over the top rope, if you will. Continues to the next round, and once I get the entries worked out, divided by groups, only how long it works over the game weeks. Also, Melvino, who won it, congratulations. He's also the holder of this cup, so he's got something else to go for. And if he wins this one as well, then surely he must be first in the Mega League, because if he's getting these scores back-to-back, then that's doing well. So like I said, if you're interested, DM me at Fantasy Half. I'll put your name in the list. Don't worry, I'll be pushing this for the next 3 or 4 weeks and during the World Cup podcast, so I've got a decent intake of managers for my actual start it off. And the beauty of this cup is you don't get knocked out after one round or two rounds because you've always got a chance, 3 or 4, then the knockout starts. So it lets you kind of build up. And I think it went down quite well in the community last year. People quite liked the idea of a cup. Is there any other cup like that I've seen in any other fantasy games out there? So we'll take that one. And also more housekeeping. The World Cup starts in 3 game weeks time. We will be covering it. We will be doing the pod in this place. Probably the team is up to date at this point. Starting with the rules, regulations of the game, if it finally drops, how do you play it, how do you work your chips, stuff like that. Anybody plays a Champions League game, it's going to be pretty similar to that, but we'll discuss that near the time, and we will try to bring you maybe 2 podcasts a week. I know Tom's going to be tied up because of dad issues, but I'm sure me and Donny can carry the load for the second podcast and take it from there. Right, so we will move on to our league and top three. So that's our man team again. Number one, Melvino at the top, 881 points. Second, McColgan 82, 866 points. And third, E6 Hammers, 853 points. So take us to our own score and rank. So I go first and I'm lowest placed. So this week, 69 points returned. And that's with a goalkeeper, so that's not too bad. So Captain Tavernier, 18 points. Portis, 5 points. Mayo, 1. Taylor, 17. Boyle 6, Spittle 7, Haksabanovic 3, Armstrong 2, Vice Captain Kolak 12, and Tony Watt front minus 2. All that's left the bench was 2 points for Majorski, 2 points for Scales, nothing there. And that is to be back up at the top 100, so 179th overall. Tom, score and rank this week?
I got 97 points, which sees me up to 45th. Points came from Roos and goals with 2. Solemn got me 16, Captain Tav 18, Greg Taylor got me 17, and King got me 3. In midfield, the younger got me 2, Boyle got me 6, and Haksabanovic got me 3. And up front, Cholak got me 7, Vice Captain Shanklin got me 14, and Furuhashi got me 9. And unfortunately, Henderson was left on the bench with 14 points.
So another day he's been over a ton, Mark. Good shooting.
Definitely, yeah.
Donnie, yourself?
Yeah, I could have been doing with some of those points myself. Well done, Tom. So I'm the same as you, Peter. Absolutely no goalie. So 0 there, Ericsson. Captain Tav, 18. Porteous, 5. King, 3. Carter Vickers, 5. Younger, 2. Boyle, 6. Haksabanovic, 3. Armstrong, 2. Cholak, 7. And Vice-Captain Giacomakis, as you see, minus 1. So 50 points for the game week. Global score is 839. I think, and I can't remember because obviously I wasn't here last week, I think I was 20th and now I'm down to 27th. So I'm really starting to fall like a stone with those two bad weeks. So I've got to pull my socks up.
Plenty of time to recover. It's only 2 game weeks. 3,000 game weeks, 38 accounts. I heard the FPL General say today. Right, so I'll go through the results and then we'll go a bit of Tom time if I can find this. Right, where are we? Right, okay. So Saturday we had St Johnstone 1, Kilmarnock 0, Rangers 4, Aberdeen 1, Hibernian 3, St Mirren 0, Dundee 0, Motherwell 1, Livingston 0, Celtic 3, and Ross County 1, Hearts 2. Over to you, Tom.
Yep, so first one I've got down here is Dundee United 0, Motherwell 1, Solemn with the goal and assist from Spittle. Dundee United continue to be poor. Tony Watt's really been our only consideration the past few weeks, and in this game he goes and gets a red card, so not ideal. Motherwell got the win, however they didn't really capitalise on Dundee United going down to 10 men. You would expect a bigger margin, and the goal was scored before the Tony Watt was sent off, so yep, not great either. Van Veen, he only managed a single shot in this game and he's still not done anything since his big haul versus Aberdeen, so perhaps time to move off him. Spittle got the assist, and at 3.3 million he's the third highest scoring midfielder if you exclude Celtic and Rangers players, so he seems to be ticking along nicely, so perhaps one to consider as a cheap option. The two above him are Boyle and Campbell at Hibs, so another couple of considerations there as well. Other than that, not too much to add on that fixture. Not really much change from Dundee United or Motherwell. Peter, what's your thoughts?
Raging me, Tony Watt gets hit off after picking pleading his case last week. But upon watching the game, I think it was quite soft. I hadn't seen the game off, so I was following it on Twitter, and a lot of Dundee fans actually thought he deserved a red card, so I thought it was going to be a kind of really bad tackle. I know Donnie said it wasn't that bad, so when I watched it back, I do kind of agree that if that's a red card, there's going to be quite a few of them if that's what's going to be all the time. Apart from that, I do kind of worry for both these teams. I don't think they look that good. The manager, new manager, bounce kind of stopped. I'm not really interested in any of the play. I've got Spittle. He kind of ticks over nicely. I think he's decent for that cheap midfield option. I'm not in a kind of rush to get rid of him because he's popped up with another assist, so he'll stay there until the wild card. I'm not rushing to get anybody else in. The goalkeeping situation's changed again, so that's probably my transfer this week. And none stands out to me fantasy-wise at what I got on any of these players. Van Veen's kind of had a dry spell. Yellow card's always dodgy with him, so he's kind of fallen off that top five list we always talk about. And Watt's done something stupid, so again, the other one I might be shifting out shortly as well.
Yep. Donnie, anything to add to that?
Yeah, so Dundee United is a team that I have a lot of beef with at the moment. I'm sure if you're anything like me, you set your timer 15 minutes before the deadline, you go look through all the team news, and then you make your decisions based on that. And United just troll. And I don't think it's the first time they've done it this season, but they don't release their team until after the deadline shuts. So for me, I was waiting to see if Levitt played. I had him in my team the previous week, but he didn't play. He wasn't even in the squad. So I was just waiting to see if he played. If he did, I would have left him. And if he didn't, I would have taken him out. So I just had to take a punt, and I took him out, and I put in the guy Armstrong from Kilmarnock, which was a sound choice. But turns out it was the goalkeeping position that was the real issue, because Ericsson got dropped, and I got a blank there. So I'm the same as Peter. I've got a hole to fix at the back amongst some other places in my team. So that was not so good. The game itself, there wasn't a great deal going on. Sol Holm got the only goal of the game, plus his clean sheet and bonus points. He's probably going to be the one top scorers for the week. The Watt challenge is probably one of those ones where VAR doesn't help, because when you slow it down, it looks worse. I think Sportscene did kind of say, look, he's trying to get out of it. And I do kind of see it, but as you say, that happens all the time. Come the Old Firm, there'll be challenges like that, left, right and centre. The game's going to never end. But good result for Motherwell, but they do have tough fixtures. They've got Hearts, who I think are coming on a game, then Celtic before they play St Johnstone. I don't have any Motherwell assets. I mean, Spittle, you probably would go to, but again, those fixtures don't really cry out. United, they started to turn the corner, but here they are again. On the losing front, and they play Celtic next, so probably not going to look to them there before Kilmarnock and Aberdeen. So I will hold off there, and I'll go hunting for a new keeper in the meantime.
Yep. Up next, we've got Hibs 3, St Mirren 0. It was Boyle with the penalty for the opening. Kukurevic got the second with an assist from Henderson, and Henderson managed to bag the third goal as well. So well done to those that stuck with you and Henderson and managed to play the bench trick successfully. I wasn't one of those. Hibs played well in this fixture. I think St Mirren have been quite firm defensively this season, so I didn't really expect this kind of scoreline. Boyle's now starting to become more consistent, so I can now safely say I'm convinced. Kukurevic, he's had 2 7-pointers in the last two game weeks, and he's only 4.5 million. So I think he can now be thrown in the mix of cheap strikers along with Duke and Stevie May. So another consideration there. Clean sheet for Hibs and a clean sheet for Porteous, who's been quite popular amongst managers the past few game weeks. In terms of St Mirren, I did think Curtis Main and the younger looked all right and did have a couple of chances, but failed to capitalise there. And hopefully back to their defensive form for the next two fixtures, where they face Ross County and St Johnstone. So hopefully maybe just a blip. Donny, what's your opinion on this fixture?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a dominant performance from Hibs. They'd lost their last three games, but they certainly bounced back. Boyle, Porteous, Henderson, Kukurevic, they all had chances. But as you say, it was Boyle who got the goal with a penalty. He did go off injured. Don't know what the status is there. Hopefully he's fit, but we will get team news on Friday for that one. If he is, then I guess all of us have got him, so we'll need to work out something there. But the Kucherovic is probably a good differential. 4.5 million. There's probably a lot of space for that third striker. Some guys are going cold at the moment, so he definitely could come good there. As you say, Henderson, if you were patient with the guy dropping in value week on week and you maybe just left him there, then you were certainly rewarded. St Mirren, I'd say they were outplayed, but they do have those two good fixtures before they play Rangers ahead of the break. So if you have got the Iunga, I think it's just a stick on. He probably will return there, and defensively the next two games do look good. And as I say, Hibs, you've probably got two, Porteous and Boyle. And if Boyle's playing at the weekend, then you just hold on him. But no, definitely a good performance for Hibs. I think they're starting to show that they probably are the third best team out there, so you can rely on them a bit more. Marshall and goals, that could be a shout for myself and Peter. You'd have a Hibs double up there, but no, good win for Hibs.
Yep, Peter.
Yep. I don't know why, but I watched most of this game. Firestick loyal. And Hibs did look really good going forward. They were clinical. I think I've said this a few times. They've got a game plan. They're also trying to get in with this new manager, and it's a whole big score turnaround, and it was take his time. There was a lot of detractors at the start. But whenever I used to see glimpses of him looking good, and he'd look, turns are punches and bunches, loads of shots, but they do look a good attacking team. They do look to me like they will be, as I'm calling it out, I think they're going to finish third. I think it was at one point we're going to treble up on Hibs players. If they get to the winter break or World Cup break, work on what they're working on, maybe add some players in January, I could see them easily finishing third. Hearts might come back and push us, but I don't know, but I think I like to look at Hibs. Marshall's a good shout, Donny. I don't know if I fancied Hibs double up. I mean, I'm wary of any double unless it's Celtic and Rangers at the back, because you just think they don't keep enough clean sheets as they're the top two. St Mirren, I've liked for weeks, so it just shows you how good Hibs were going forward, that they're kind of cut apart at times. Still be stick to miss St Mirren assets. You had them up in the defence, I think they're still going to turn clean sheets. And like you said, Donny, a young guy in midfield, out of position, just ticks over nicely. Unless somebody appears out of the blue who's doing the exact same thing, there's no reason to move them on.
Yeah. Our next fixture then, we've got Rangers 4, Aberdeen 1. Goals for Rangers came from Colak with an assist from Tillman, Lundstrom with an assist from Ben Davies, Tav with an assist from Barisic and Morelos. And for Aberdeen, it was Conor Barron that scored with an assist from the Duke. Tav also missed a penalty in this fixture, which was disappointing, though I can only assume everyone captained him, so everyone was affected the same way. So, not a huge problem. Yilmaz started this fixture. He only managed 8 minutes, which is quite underwhelming. But Barisic came on and did well for the assist. He's been ticking along nicely over the last six game weeks. His points have been 5, 6, 9, 5, 3, 5, which is much better than King, who this was his first game week. He scored more than a single point. He got 3, so not great. Davies doing a little bit better than him, but I think Barisic is probably the man to have. If you're going for that second defender, for myself, I think the standout is probably Lundstrom. He's really excelled recently. In the last three fixtures, he's scored 9, 10 and 12 points. So I'll probably be looking to move to him as my third Rangers asset. He had 3 shots on target in this game. Only Tav had more with 4 shots on target, with a total number of shots of 9. So he's really getting in front of goal and getting chances. Unlucky they never got the clean sheet. Barron scored with Aberdeen's only shot on target, and the assist came from Duke, who is probably coming out on top amongst the cheap striker options. I'll come to you first, Peter. What's your thoughts?
Didn't expect that when we go to Donny Rangers. He caught me off guard there. Well, Rangers, I think they said this last week. Oh, I just hope John Lundstrom. I checked before. Missed it last season with Kamara. I missed it last week to you, Tom, as well. We're talking about the Rangers' third option we should have, and obviously it's been going right in front of our eyes the whole time. Lundstrom is the one that should run your team. Ticks over, gets the passing points, gets interception points. He's pretty much a... He's going to play with the game. If he's fit, Donny, he's not going to replace stuff, am I?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll get him in before my wild card, because I think I'll have other fires to put out, goalkeeper, for example. But I think if there's no word on Lawrence being fit coming back after the break, I think Lundstrom will be my third Rangers asset. At the back, obviously, Yilmaz went off injured. That's unfortunate. So the only thing I would do is it would probably guarantee your Barisic in your team for the next few weeks. You might take a punt there instead of King. Rangers looked good. I think Aberdeen were too slow to change the system, and Rangers basically outplayed them. And as I've seen people online can moan about it, the time they changed the system, the horse already bolted and Rangers had run over the top of them. So good win for Rangers. Aberdeen kind of playing the way they have been playing, off one game, decent the next game. Can I whack him off at players? Maybe Duke is a cheap striker only, I think. Scales is a cheap defender for the bench trick, but there's nobody really there I really want. I know we always say don't judge him when they go to Aberdeen. I know Sutty's got a question later on, but I'm not convinced to be Aberdeen going forward.
No. Donny?
So game of the weekend for me. Being a Rangers fan in Aberdeen, it's always risky, these games. Usually a juicy affair. Team news-wise, Yilmaz came in for Barisic, which I think was a welcome change. I think everybody wanted to see that happening. And then just like everyone else that we've got at the moment, the boy goes and gets injured and out. So, quote, after the World Cup, which seems to be most of our team at the moment, but hey-ho. So Aberdeen, first goal of the game, Barron capitalising on a dive from Duke. Should have been reviewed for VAR, free kick to Rangers, but there you go. Gave them a 1-0 head start, and lo and behold, my phone starts to light up like Christmas. So that was good. Luckily, it wasn't wrong till Rangers got back into the game with Colak. A nice finish from Tillman. And at this point, I know that I don't have him as vice-captain and everyone else does, so I'm starting to feel the pain already. I thought Kent had quite a good game in this game. He gave Aberdeen the run around. He won the free kick that led to the second goal. And as you say, man of the moment, Lundstrom tucked it away. I just had a look while you were speaking there, Peter. He's only 4.9 million, Lundstrom. So he's definitely getting overlooked. We're trying to maybe steal a Rangers defender and make points there. But as you say, he's right in front of us and we're missing it. So the second half just shows what we've all been thinking. Rangers have been getting denied penalties when it was reviewed by VAR. How the referee missed it, I don't know, because it just bounced off the boy's arm. An upstep, Tavernier, pinpoint accuracy, hits the post. So, as I say, we gave him a head start, we missed a penalty, and we still hammered them. So, by this point, Rangers were just absolutely waves of attacks, and just put the foot down. Sorry, I missed the Tav goal. Tav Barisic, that was a good goal. Morelos with the fourth after he had one chopped offside because his knee was just over the line. But no, good, probably our best performance of the season. Hold on, Tav. Hold on, Colak. Barisic is a good third spot. I do have King. Just from a financial point of view, it's easier. If Boyle, you know, there's a hole there with Boyle, then Lundstrom could easily fill that. Aberdeen, as I say, they'll need a good performance this weekend. If you haven't already moved off Miowski, now might be the time because there's probably better scoring forwards out there. If we look at Hearts, even Hibs, St Johnstone, I've got strikers in form at the moment. So, I think Miowski's time could be up. But we'll just have to wait and see. But no, cracking result. And then the phone was out and a few get it up your messages were sent. So that's always a joy.
Our next fixture then is St Johnstone 1, Kilmarnock 0. Ash Taylor with the own goal. It's some nice work from Stevie May. But unfortunately, it was Ash Taylor that was awarded. He's usually been quite good in front of goals this season, but it's a shame it was in the wrong end in this fixture. Probably not going to drag this one out. I think Stevie May is probably the only one I would consider out of this fixture. He's doing quite nicely as the cheap striker. Some competition there from Duke and obviously now Kukurevic at Hibs. Kilmarnock, not too fussed in the end of players. We kind of thought they were maybe going to have a run of form defensive wise, but it wasn't to be in this game. Donny, anything to add on that one?
Not much. As you say, Ash Taylor with the only goal of the game, but was at the wrong end. That was probably a player that I did have in mind for this game. With the Dundee team news, I probably went in that direction instead. So luckily, I missed out on that one. It wasn't, you know, an outstanding performance from either team. May is on a purple patch. You know, it would be bold to move on him, but they do play Rangers next, so they'll certainly play one up front there, and St Mirren and Motherwell, so they will have chances to come in those three games. Kilmarnock, I mean, we say it week in, week out, you know, they're probably going to get a clean sheet now and again, but it's really hard to pinpoint where the goals are going to come from. It's an avoid for me, but it wasn't a particularly good game. I don't know how they managed to get the highlights stretched out there, but
Yep, Peter?
Not much to add. Stevie May for cheap striker if you're desperate. That's it. Don't really want anybody else at these two teams right now. They would need to hit... So Johnstone has took an upturn. They would need to hit more of a constant... Sun you can see sticking out to you glaringly every week that you could rely on, but right now, none of both of them. And also the Mayo situation, he's not getting full games either, so he's chalk block bound as well.
Yeah, definitely. That leads us on to our Sunday fixtures then. We've got Livingston 0, Celtic 3. Goal came from Kyogo with an assist from Greg Taylor. He also scored as well. And then for the third goal, it was Yorta with an assist from Turnbull. Giakoumakis did miss a penalty. It was some haul for Greg Taylor. He got a goal, assist, a clean sheet and three bonus. That's now two goals in two games. So surely that's going to be him quiet for a while now, given his history. He's not really known for attacking returns. We also seen Jota back in the squad. Obviously came off the bench and scored, which makes me think Haksabanovic, his days are numbered in my team, probably going to have to switch back to Jota now. Other than that, if Jakimak has scored, it's probably a coin toss between him and Kyogo just now. We'll probably have to see what happens in Europe this week. They've got the nothing game against Real Madrid, so need to see how they fare through that injury-wise and then make a decision after that. Livingston, kind of hard to judge when they're playing Celtic, but they usually hold their own when playing at home. It's been a bit of a sticky fixture for Celtic in the past, but they made light work of it. Livingston have got Dundee United, Motherwell and County next, so not a bad little run there. And given their form, you'd imagine there's some clean sheets amongst those. Peter, what do you reckon?
Game of the week. good performance for Celtic. I thought Livingston looked okay in their shape and their setup. It was just some silly mistakes that let Celtic in for the goals. Like I think Martindale said himself, let somebody leaving his man and chasing in, and that gave Celtic the space to attack. And once you go 1-0 up, they need to get you a little more. Celtic just kind of went through the gears. It was kind of no problem. Taylor obviously didn't expect that back-to-back weeks, so that was fantastic, especially when he was on the chalk block weeks ago. But other fans to put out, as I've put on Twitter, so by keeping them there, because there's something else to change instead, I've managed to get the points back. And with the Europe finishing shortly, I think Taylor will be pretty much nailed. I said to you, Tom, in a chat about Taylor over the centre-backs because of VAR, and you had a different opinion, but I was thinking it's normally the centre-backs that are challenging in the box, so they're more likely to cause the penalty, I think. So I'm more wary to touch the centre-backs, especially Celtic Rangers, than I would be with the two full-backs, because we always go full-backs for attack returns, but when it comes to challenging the box, until this VAR's more settled, Vickers straight away the first week, I'm wary of touching a Celtic centre-back right now. And also I'm going to say Jota. I've got a question on that later, so I'll leave the Jota situation then. But like yourself, John Haksabanovic, I think his days could be numbered.
Yep. Donnie, what's your opinion on this one?
Okay, so about four weeks ago, I had a team that consisted of Kyogo, Taylor and Jota. Now I've got none. That is how the fortunes can turn in this game. Just to top it off, as I mentioned at the start, I gave the vice-captaincy to Giakoumakis as a differential. And we all know how that paid off. So, yeah, not a good one. Good all-round performance from Celtic, but it's a lottery in terms of the lineup. With Jota being back in the fold, it just gives us another hole we need to patch. However, it does seem pretty sensible to put him in for Haksabanovic. That's just a change that hasn't paid off. Livingston got a mixed bag coming up. Killy Aberdeen Hearts. They'll probably get something out of those three fixtures, but Celtic on the other hand have got United, Motherwell, Ross County. To me, that just says 9 points out of nine. So I will stick with Giakoumakis for just now because I've got too many other fires to put out and I've already used one wild card. I don't want to go and use the other. It is what it is. Celtic win 3-0. Great. Happy days.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
One more game.
Ross County 1, Hearts 2, which was the final game of the week on the Sunday. Ross County, the goal came from Jordan White with an assist from Danda. Still no consistent players at Ross County, so it's a firm avoid for me. For Hearts, it was Shankland that scored, and the second goal came from Andy Halliday with an assist from Snodgrass. Hearts are now out of Europe. They need to recover in the league, and I think now's probably the time to get back on Shankland. Other than that, I need to kind of see how things pan out for Hearts before we consider any other players. Though Snodgrass is on the radar. He's a good caliber player, and he's only 4.7 million in the game. I think he's quite interesting. He's had 2 7 pointers in the last four game weeks, so there could be something there. In terms of Hearts defence, they're still conceding. We still need to see some improvement there before consider any of the back line or Craig Gordon. I'll come to you, Peter, so you can get your weekly dig at Craig Gordon.
Thanks, Tom. Ross County had the voids. They've looked put up more of a fight, but again, there's nobody standing out. And until their form, if it ever does improve, it's in a void. Hearts at the back, not interested. Craig Gordon can't keep clean sheets, probably worst goalkeeper in the league. Defence rotates, so you're not getting in. You can't trust your goalkeeper, you can't trust the defenders in front of him. So to me, it's in a void. That's why, you know, I'm only carrying on with this kind of stuff. Up front, Shankland, maybe. But until I see the settled side after Europe finishes this week and then how they go forward with, I'm still kind of avoiding. But Shankland seems a nice move off of Majowski. Like Domi still on. Majowski's off form. Shankland's in form. But again, with Snodgrass there, they've got other options. There's Humphreys as well up top. I'd like to see the settled team after the Europe finish and see who's going to be playing and the minutes could be shared before I make a move on what kind of attacking assets. And hopefully guys like Mackay and Forrest can back into the fold. Now they're playing maybe one game a week. They're not in the League Cup, so they don't need to worry about that. But again, back, I mean, they've got quite pricey defenders because they finished third last year, so there's value elsewhere from the goalkeeper and defence. But midfield and attack could open up some interesting options going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Donny, what's your view?
Yeah, not much to add to that. Ross County are a hard avoid. Fixture-wise, there's nothing coming up that's going to favour them at all. Hearts, as you say, they've got a sort of catching up to do once they're out of Europe. They've certainly got the squad to do it. Shankland is in form, and that usually counts for quite a lot in this game. They've got Motherwell, Rangers, Livingston. I mean, even in the Rangers game, he's bound to have a chance. So if you get him in, those are quite winnable games for them. As I say, defence, I would stay away. Snodgrass, I do see his name week in, week out, but I've not really looked at midfield positions because we've had quite consistent starters there. But certainly somebody who could make a difference. But yeah, good win for Hearts. As I say, they've got catching up to do, and it's whether you want to back them. Knowing that they've got a Rangers game second out of the next three. You're just going to have to make those decisions there.
Yep. And we'll round off with the top 10. Up front, first, we've got Greg Taylor. No surprises there. 17 points. He's obviously a defender. Solemn, another defender with 16 points. We've got Henderson with 14. With his Hall Hibs, he's obviously a midfielder. Lundstrom got 12 points, midfielder. Liam Gordon at St. Johnstone, who we've not mentioned yet, 9 points. Tav, 9 points as well, both defenders. Kyogo, 9 points. And Shankland, both forwards. And we've got Considine with 8 points. If St. Johnstone keep a clean sheet, he seems to always be in the points, so something to consider there. And strangely enough, in number 10, we've got Rocky Bushiri with 8 points. But obviously, Hibs kept a clean sheet, so not doing too badly there. Worth noting that Considine's only 5 points behind Barisic. That's a little fact thing. But so that gives us two forwards. Both Kyogo and Shankland are in the kind of the usual pool of regulars that we get. Two midfielders. Lundstrom really needs to be on a radar. And Henderson, you could argue it's maybe just a one-week wonder. Majority are defenders with 6 and no goalkeepers. Anything standing out there to you, Donny?
Well, apart from Tav, who everyone's got, I don't have any of the other 9, which kind of tells you the state of my team right now. But again, it's hard to pinpoint clean sheets in this game. There's not a lot of form in the league outside of Rangers and Celtic, which makes it difficult. So if you can get, used to be Ash Taylor, used to score, get a clean sheet. As you say, Considine always does well if he gets a clean sheet. So, you know, if you're backing any of those players, you will get lucky over time. Lundstrom's on form and we're just not picking him. As I say, Henderson, I think we all thought he might have that start to the season. He had a good price point, but sort of dipped out the game and dived in price. Whether you'll see returns like that going forward, not so sure. But no, it's interesting. As I say, it's hard to get clean sheets with the games at the moment, but I missed out on all of those points, unfortunately.
Peter, anything to add to that?
Just a lot of familiar names apart from St. Johnstone boys, so I'm quite sure that's done well for the casual this week, or the dead teams with Henderson in it. It's just a case of, as Donny mentioned, you're going to get lucky sometimes with these defenders. It's whether you have the patience to stick them in and give them 3 or 4 game weeks. Use the fixture run, use your rebuy test and go, right, I'm going to, for example, Andy Constantine in and leave him to the break. Use the bench trick and you might win out it. Same as, for example, I mean, you mentioned King. King was a sound choice for Rangers, but obviously hasn't turned that many points. It's same as Solheim. It's just a matter of you're just going to have to bite the bullet with two at your back, 3 or 4 defenders, and hopefully fixture run and it works and you get a couple of decent returns for them.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you finished, Tom?
Yep.
Right, Don, over to you for your dive.
Okay, so last time I was on, I did a countdown to the World Cup, so we're just going to review that because there's 3 game weeks to go and they come thick and fast this weekend, midweek, and then the following weekend. So it's really just to see where we can capitalise there, build your team up, because come game week 16, that's the big double game week that we're probably all going to be eyeing up with our chips, etc. So I'm just going to talk about that recap from the last time that we did it. So if we look at the early team news for the last 3 round of games, we've got Hibs and Aberdeen both have the next 2 games where team news is available. Game week 13 is only Aberdeen and Hibs. They play on the Friday, so that's the only team news you'll see there. Game week 2, I think game week 15, you'll only see Rangers and St Mirren. So not much to work with. The rest of the teams, Celtic, United, Hearts, Killeen, Motherwell, St Johnstone, all have 3 games where they've got no early team news. And on the Celtic front, if you're trying to wait for the next time you see team news there, it is not going to be until January, the Old Firm fixture. So you're just going to have to work with it. It must be the longest run of no team news, considering we're on TV every other week. But unfortunately, you're just going to have to ride this one out. Although it is worth noting that Celtic and Hearts are out of Europe, and Rangers, barring a 5-0 win tonight, will also be out of Europe. So that takes the pressure off there with regards to rotation. So if we look at good fixtures, the ones that don't involve Rangers or Celtic, you've got Aberdeen, Hibs, Killy and Livingston. Have all got three games without Rangers or Celtic. Every other team plays either Rangers or Celtic, but no team has both to play. So that's quite good. The home-away split, Aberdeen, Celtic, Hearts, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone and St Mirren. I've got two home games, one away. And the flip side is Dundee United, Hibs, Livy, Motherwell, Rangers, Ross County have two away and one at home. So just to summarise that, same as the last time I talked about this, Celtic have got the form and the fixtures. If you can get lucky with the rotation, I would definitely load up with three Celtic assets. Hibs, outside of that, I think are the next best team after Celtic Rangers. You've probably already got two. You can maybe stretch to three. Because of the team used there. Hearts, as we've mentioned, they could be a team worth moving to. Motherwell, Rangers and Livy is their next two games. And Rangers are away to St Johnstone, home to Hearts and away to St Mirren. So while the squad's pretty thin, you should be able to hold on Tav and Cholak between now and the break. If we look at the bottom of the table, Ross County have St Mirren, Hibs and Celtic to play. That's all teams that can score quite freely against a team like Ross County, so you could probably look to target them. Everything else is a mixed bag. If you're going to look at form, there's only two teams who've won their last two games. Do you want to have a guess who that is, Peter?
Celtic and Rangers? No, nope. That's right.
Tom?
Celtic and Hibs?
No. Celtic and St Johnstone are the only two teams to have won their last two games. So that just shows you how up and down the game is at the moment. There's very little form to make those predictions. So for me, you want to make the most of these three game weeks whilst at the same time, keep an eye on that game week 16, the double. You might want, you know, bringing in Hearts now will benefit you for the double game week. Bringing in maybe St Mirren goalkeeper. Whilst I will play Rangers, you'll get the double game week at the other end. So that might be one to consider. And I will review that probably next week. I'll look at the double game weeks. So as I say, it's just a short sprint now to the World Cup. Try and make the most of it while you can. Anything to add to that, Tom?
No, sounds good to me.
Yeah, Peter, no Celtic team news till January. How are we going to cope?
I don't know. What, the only thing I'd say about that is just try to pick the players that are nailed. If Jota's back fit, he's probably going to be nailed. Taylor, I think, would be nailed if Burnaby's up there, and maybe one of the centre-backs. But it's Russian roulette when it comes to that kind of lineup. You're going to have to just bite the bullet and see what happens. Again, form and fixtures, don't ask the way to go for. Celtic's in form, Hibs are in form, fixtures are there. It's telling you what to go for your transfers. Be selling it to go to it unless you're told otherwise.
Indeed.
Right, we'll move on to our community questions before we head and kind of wrap up fixtures and captain, vice-captains. So first up is Andy Penman. Andy Penman, this is something you said earlier on, Donny. I used to have Taylor, Jota, Kyogo as my Celtic club. I liked having them. Should I just go back to those? You know, Europe was almost done for the season. I'll start with you, Tom.
Probably short answer is yes. Now that Europe seems to be over, there's less of a distraction for Celtic. We have seen a lot of rotation in favour of Europe. The kind of the main players have been playing in European games, and guys like Forrest and Giakoumakis have been getting more game time, but now that's over, I think it'll be back to the status quo again. So it's a yes from me.
Donny?
Andy, I feel your pain, I really do. I moved to Vickers, and I'm happy with that because it does hold on the Celtic defence. Without the risk of future rotation. The Taylor Hall was probably a one-off, so it hurts to miss out there. You know, Vickers scores next weekend, then, you know, it's all happy days. Jota seems a straight switch. As I said, Haksabanovic offers nothing. Kyogo's the hard one because it is hit and miss. You know, he had a patch where he wasn't scoring. Giakoumakis came in and scored. And then Giakoumakis was rested and Kyogo's on form. Now, this hasn't aged well because I've wrote Kyogo will be off the World Cup and possibly rested once the World Cup is over. So I was going to hold on Giakoumakis. But Peter, you've managed to break the news that that's not the case. Do you want to let everyone know?
Yep, the three Celtic Japanese contingent that plays regularly, only one has made the World Cup, and that is one probably you wouldn't expect, and it is Daisen Maeda. No Hatate, no Kyogo. So anybody think of that in the background for the wild card or transfers come back in, you'll have a fit Hatate and a fit Kyogo probably ready to go after the break.
Yeah, so I've written a lot of times where I think Giakoumakis would be a better pick than Kyogo, and that's all gone up in smoke. So I'll have to hold on him this weekend because I've got too many other changes to make, and then just see from there. But no, Andy, I know how you're feeling.
Hey, my short answer again is, like Tom, is yes. I think Jota probably one of the first name of team sheets. Taylor is a first choice left back. The only thing you'd need to do with the Kyogo and Giakoumakis is they will probably share minutes, but sometimes that's not a bad thing because on another day, Giakoumakis could come off the bench last weekend and score the goal, Donny, different day. The way Celtic play kind of blitz-style football, sometimes a player coming off the bench for the last half hour isn't the worst thing. If it's an attacking change, they could still be going for it, so it's just a risk you have to take. Like we always say every year, the team that's going to score the most goals will be Rangers and Celtic strikers at the end of the season, 9 times out of 10, so if you back one of them, I'm pretty sure you'll get more returns than not. So I would say yes. Right, next question is from Kevin Wood at Kemofish89. Who are the best three forwards to own for the last three games before the World Cup break? And I'll let you go first, Tony, because this kind of ties in with actually your fixtures that you brought up. So,
yeah, so for me, and again, this is what I wrote, I've got Cholak and a Celtic forward, either Giakoumakis or Kyogo, whoever you think is going to be the best pick. Outside of that, probably next contenders would be Miowski and Shankland. I'm going to go with Shankland. Happy to acknowledge that they play Rangers. I'll just accept that. If you're looking for differentials, you've got Watt, obviously coming off the back of a red card. Not something to prove me, who we mentioned, and even Duke at Aberdeen. If you're looking for some real outsiders, then I think the Hibs Kucherovic is also an option. Personally, I like Shankland because he is somebody that features in the double game week after the break. So if you have him in your team now, one less change. Say I can't really wildcard on that double game week because I've already used one, and having him in my team would mean one less change. So to me, Cholak, Giakoumakis, Shankland, I'd probably be happy with that.
Tom?
I'd probably go for the same. I think if there's not a lot done in your team, then you can probably do a bit of hokey-cokey with Shankland when they play Rangers. But even then, as Donny said, you could still get some chances there. I think they're away to Rangers, so. But I get even that still, you could still get some chances. So, Shankland for me.
Yep,
Matthew, as well as the other two.
Yep, Matthew would probably be Cholak, Furuhashi, and Shankland. If in an ideal scenario, you could throw in the Hibs striker. I can't remember. Which is now how you pronounce his name, Tom? You've done it so well so far on the podcast.
Kukurevich.
That's the one. He's maybe an outside bet if you want to try to challenge and gain rank, but I think you wouldn't go wrong with that Frazier strikers lineup. Right, next up is from Sutty at Sutty Show. Aberdeen's next three fixtures look good, but is it better options than their players, other players, example, Shanks, Lopez, Majowski? So I kind of ties it in the last question. None of you mentioned Lopez or Majowski for strikers going forward. So I would tend to think, Donny's mentioned it a few times, I think Majowski's went cold. Lopez is not a bad option for a third striker cheap spot, but again, we're returning pretty well strikers this season, so to kind of give one at the cheap spot would, I think, would be counterproductive, but that's just my take on it. What do you think on Aberdeen fixtures, Donny?
I mean, obviously he's gone cold, but he is on penalties, so he can, you know, clutch up in against Hibs at the weekend. So, you know, it's maybe if you stick on him, I don't have any issues there. I think if you do go with Duke, I don't know his price, but you're probably going to be spending the money elsewhere in your team. And then if you want to come off Duke, it's going to be harder to move to a Shankland. So just watch if you are going cheap with a third striker, it'll be hard to then get back up. As I say, I've only got Miowski. I moved off all my other Aberdeen assets. I wouldn't have any issue holding them. I just think Shankland's a better pick right now. But I could have egg in my face come Friday and Aberdeen win 3-0. So I'll just have to wait and see.
Tom, thoughts on Aberdeen fixtures and striker positions?
Yeah, I came off Miowski last game week and brought in Shankland, which worked out well for me. But Duke is on form. So he was the kind of one I was thinking about, the kind of hokey cokey with Shankland. You could kind of switch him around. And you could use the money, upgrade a midfielder to Lundstrom. That's a possibility. Aberdeen do face Celtic and Rangers in the double straight after the World Cup. So you're probably going to come off them at that point. So if it is anything, it's maybe only going to be something as short term as three fixtures. So maybe consider something else for more of a long term option.
Okay. Right, next up, I hope you get a ticker up for this one. Best 3 week punts for people wildcarding in game week 16, and that is from the @ScottBrenFantasyTips account. So best, does he mean 3 week punts because of wildcarding games? That's about read into it, so it's punting now up to the wildcard, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So punts, Tom, we'll start with you.
So Kilmarnock, I've got two home games, which is Livingston and Hibs. And they're away at Dundee United, who've been pretty poor. So I think Ash Taylor could be a nice punt. He has a threat in front of goal. And there is the possibility of clean sheets there. If it wasn't for the unlucky OG, then they would have had a couple of clean sheets recently. And obviously, the manager's very defensive-minded. Other than that, Aberdeen, as mentioned, you could go for the Duke there. And other than that,
it's quite hard.
You could jump back on Henderson. Hibs have got Ross County and Kilmarnock, as well as Aberdeen, who by all accounts have been a bit leaky. So looking for a cheap option. Henderson might have earned his position back in the squad after that haul, so that could be an option as well.
Donny, punty, next 3 weeks, anything stand out?
Can't believe you didn't come to me first, the king of the wild card. it is tricky because there's a mix. I mean, looking at St Mirren, I've got two good fixtures before Rangers, so defensively that is somewhere you could go. You would just have to take the hit on the third game. Who's another? I mean, again, St Johnstone, we talked about they've won their last two games. I don't think they'll make it three because they play Rangers next. But then St Mirren and Motherwell, so May, it could be a punt. I think Kucherovic at Hibs is certainly what, you know, we talked about Shankland there, but that probably is one that could pay off in that respect. Other than that, it's probably going to be like a rogue choice, like, so you're going to want to go Lundstrom or, oh, Riley's not hitting for me, like Hatate or somebody that is just going to, you know, hit a patch. So that might be another decision. I mean, Rangers and Celtic do have good fixtures and relatively good form. So, you know, it might just be that you have to go there, but outside the normal ones that we talk about week in, week out. So it is tricky. So I'm not sure if that's helped.
No, none to do it for me either. The only two was the hip strike you mentioned. Lundstrom was the two punting ones that you could go for. Can I try and stick with the patch? And also, like you mentioned, the fixtures. Pick a team you actually get to have the clean sheets and pick a defender, but nothing particularly stands out to be punty apart from what we mentioned, so I don't have much help there at all. I suppose I would say bringing Jota back in, but I think once Jota's fit, everybody's going to do that, so that's not going to be as punty as you think. Right, last question is from FPL General. Is Jota in a priority this week? So I'll start here first. Now, that'll depend on probably tonight, is it tonight? Is people tonight on Tuesday?
Yeah, tomorrow, I think it
was. It was Wednesday night. So if Jota is in the first team starting, then okay, right, he's back in, he's fully fit. If he's on the bench, comes off the bench, and he gets more than half an hour, then yes. Me, this week, because don't get any team news, I am probably going to leave it a week. But if you've got Haksabanovic there and you've no problems with your team and you want to bring Jota in, I don't see an issue with going for that. He might steal a match from other people who might wait, because still two game weeks, and it's still two game weeks a week after, as Donny mentioned, because it's league, back-to-league, back-to-back. So I don't see Jota returning from injury and playing three games in 10 days. And I think he, as a player, would probably like to play the European game because the Bernabeu is a big stadium, big atmosphere. So we'll see how it works out. So basically, same as just wait, get wait information, wait till you get more information tomorrow night. See how much minutes he's managed. But as we know, we're not going to get any team news, so you're going to be taking a stab in the dark for the next 3 weeks. So, Jota.
Yeah, it all kind of hinges on tomorrow night. There's not a lot to play for, and it's a big event. I could see maybe getting 45 minutes and being saved for the weekend. So, but then again, sometimes Ange can be a bit unpredictable. So, I reckon he's probably my priority this weekend, if nothing else is pressing, because you can see what he can do. And obviously, he came off the bench and scored at the weekend there. Haksabanovic has failed to impress fantasy wise. So, yep, he's someone I'm making a priority.
Okay. Dory, whole jot of love, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, from a basic price point, regardless of what we say, everyone's going to jump on him because they've seen his name in the team sheet. So if you don't pick him this week, he's going to be 0.1 more, 0.2 more next week. And plus, you've also missed out. They've got Dundee United, put 9 past them last time. You wouldn't want to miss out there. The midweek game is... they had a bunch of hammer throwers, so you could probably rest them against them. And then you've got Ross County at home. Again, a team bang out of form. Hopefully be starting those games. So in my eyes, if he started the two home games, you would definitely clutch up on points. If he was rested for the midweek game, it probably wouldn't be too much of a miss. But from a pure cash point of view, and the fact that Haksabanovic is doing little, it does seem a straightforward punt.
Just gave me the absolute fear. I didn't try to bring him in. Right, okay. That is...
Sorry, Peter, I've got one question as well. I know you're already ready to move on there. So, Gavin, at Gavin38322101, he's been on here before. He's asked about Jota and Kyogo and Shanklin Kolarmielski. I think we've answered that one, Gavin. But he's also in the same position as me and you, Peter. He has got a goalkeeping crisis. So I think he's looking for help on there. So what's your thoughts? You've got Ericsson the same as me. Are you going to ship him out? Take a -4?
Well, that'll come up in my captain's vice-captain's transfer. So if he hangs on another 5 minutes, I'll tell him my transfer.
So if you were to pick a new goalkeeper, where would you go?
The options this week is basically because of your ticker as well. You mentioned the players. It would be either Hibernian or a really short-term punt on Joe Hart, just to get to the World Cup break.
Interesting. Tom, what's your take on? You've obviously got a set goalkeeper, so you don't have that problem. What would you do if you needed to freshen up in goals?
I think goalkeepers have such a low ceiling, and based on our top 10 analysis every week, they're very rarely featured in the top 10, so it's not something I'd be rushing to do. I think if there's a team this week that you're convinced is going to get a clean sheet, then that clean sheet would absorb the -4 and you're no better off. And then you've got a goalkeeper then to play the next two fixtures. If it was me, I'd probably be looking at Hibs. That would be my choice. Because Ross County and Kilmarnock aren't offering too much. Aberdeen. Maybe a tricky one to get a clean sheet this week, but you'd imagine the -4 would be repaid over the three fixtures at least.
You've got the Rangers and Celtic the other end after the break. You wouldn't want to be sitting on Aberdeen goalkeeper, I don't think, from the head of those two games.
Nah. Oh, no, I mean Hibs.
Hibs.
I mean, the fixture this weekend is Aberdeen, so...
Sorry.
It may not pay off immediately, but you might get the points back in the Ross County and Kilmarnock fixtures.
Yeah.
Other than that... Cummings at Kilmarnock's a cheapy option, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We've got Livingston at home, who haven't been too prolific in front of goal. Then Dundee United, then they're at home to Hibs, so there's chances there for clean sheets as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of punty, I think.
Definitely. So my take is that you could move to Dundee United. I think Bedegiti's fallen in price. You'd get value there, but they play Celtic. It's probably a hard avoid. Marshall would also be a solid pick. We've talked about him. But the one I would probably go for is Carson at St Mirren. Got decent fixtures, 2 out of 3. And they're also double game week 16. So you would benefit there as well. I think they've got good fixtures that double game week, if my memory serves me right. So that's where I would go. I'm also toying with the idea of just leaving him in there, go with 10 men, because I'll probably have to take a minus four in other areas of the pitch. I don't fancy taking a minus eight to possibly only get two back. So I might just leave it. But you have to come off Ericsson if you're on him. And I think Carson might be a good shout. Marshall might be a good shout. So hopefully that answers that one, Gavin.
Right. Gavin, from going forward, please add
the
question, reply to that so I can see it. Right. Okay, next up is the fixtures for game week 13. So again, we do have Friday night kickoffs for two games, but I don't, because it's 1:07:30 and 1:07:45, I think you might only get the team news for one. It might be too late the time the team news comes out. So we've got Aberdeen Hibs Friday night, 7:30. We've got Kilmarnock Livingston, 7:45. And then on a Saturday, we've got Ross County, St Mirren, Celtic Dundee United, St John's Rangers on the Sunday, Hearts Motherwell on Sunday. So upon hearing those fixtures, Donny, what is your captain, vice-captain and transfer thoughts? I know you really kind of talked us through some.
Yeah, so the Hibs team news will be important just because Boyle did go off injured. You want to see that he's starting. If he's not, then again, you could swap him with Haksabanovic and get in Jota and another as far as that's concerned. But for me, the Celtic game screams goals. They scored 9 the last time and they're at home this time, so they'll certainly fancy their chances there. Bringing Jota in, as I've said, and unless he doesn't feature or we hear news that he's not fully fit, I would, you know, walk over broken glass to get him in my team. Rangers, St Johnston, hopefully that's a clean sheet for Rangers. If you're on the double defence, I'd maybe start with those two. Transfers, I feel like I've got about 5 or 6 transfers to make, having not long done wild card, but Jota would be my main one, and I'll see what else shape him in there. Captain Tav seems sensible. Penalties with VAR plus clean sheet, I think you should be okay there. And vice captain would be Cholak or Jota again against Dundee United.
Tom, thoughts, transfers, fat captains, vice captains?
Captain, probably stick with Captain Tav. Vice captain on Kyogo if he comes through unscathed tomorrow night. And transfer, unless there's anything else pressing, it's probably going to be Haksabanovic out, Jota in.
Right, okay, so myself, the transfer is, I think we'll be taking -4. I think, as I alluded to that last question, the goalkeepers, I think I'm going to go for Joe Hart for the next 3 game weeks. Double up until defence, he's going to be pretty much nailed. I fancy at least 2-3 clean sheets in the next 3 games. Touch wood. Tony mentioned Carson. That's probably the go-to goalkeeper after a wild card in game week 16 double. That's what I'll probably be going for. But Joe Hart for the next three weeks and a -4 probably to replace Haksabanovic for Jota. If all goes well with team news and injury and stuff like that. The only span on that, what would be the Martin Boyle situation? So again, I have a plan of action. I've had one set of transfers, next set of transfers, and if Boyle's injured, then because I've already got 2 places in my team, the non-playing player and Tony Watts, so there's 2. So I don't want to have 3, so I would need to think about it and write down what I would do to contender on team news. I would even keep Boyle a team if he was benched, because he can come off the bench and do some, so I wouldn't particularly worry about that either.
Just before you move on, I take it you're confirmed wildcard in game week 16, is that right?
100%, yep.
Tom, are you doing the same?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay. I don't think you just mentioned it last week, but just as a heads up, when you wildcard the week after, you only get 1 free transfer. So that caught me out. Previous seasons, it's been 2. But I emailed the guys just to double check, and they said, no, the transfers freeze. You play your wild card and then the following week you just get 1. So keep that in mind. If you're thinking an easy way out would just be to make 2 changes. When you do play your wild card, you will only get 1 free transfer the following week.
Right, okay. So I didn't explain it this year, did I? Actually, but in the rules and terms and conditions, because we always get 2 last year. Well,
yeah.
I'll be wildcarding probably with 3 Rangers, 3 Celtic in mind, as you'd expect. So there's 6 out of 11, so I don't think I'll be that much damage. I'll be trying to attack the double game week, obviously, but obviously with an eye in mind of the fixtures after the fact, so we'll wait and see. And I might be playing the triple cap.
I'll talk about it, as I say. I'll do a dive on it, which teams we want to target, looking at not only the double game week, but the game weeks after. But again, it's a time of year where fixtures come thick and fast, so rotation could easily hit you, weather could hit you. We've seen that in the past. I think COVID took some games out of commission. So you've got to watch that come December, these games definitely go ahead. But I'll talk about that near the time. But yeah, wild card, you only get one free transfer the week after.
Okay, we all wrapped up then, that is done. Right, yep. Guys, we will be back next week covering this. Obviously, it's a double game week next week, so we'll probably have to catch the second round of games of the podcast after, but we'll see what we can do off pod. So get your plugs in before we go, Donny.
At FFS underscore Donny.
Tom.
I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
Yep, I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Say goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.